We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello and welcome to the Papers podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Mark Tebbs. I have background in psychology, mental health commissioning, coaching and freelance consulting. In this series, we speak to the authors of papers published in one of ACAM's three journals. They are the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, commonly known as JCPP, the Journal of Child and Adolescent Mental Health, known as CAM, and JCPP Advances. If you're one of the fans of our podcast series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Today, I'm delighted to be talking to Dr. Miles Reyes and Dr. Apurva Bhatt, who are the lead authors of a paper entitled Breaking the Silence, an Epidemiological Study on Asian American and Pacific Islander Youth Mental Health Suicide, 1999 to 2021, which was recently published in the CAM Journal. This paper forms part of the 2024 CAM Journal special issue on equity, diversity and inclusion in child and adolescent mental health. Before we start, I just want to make sure that listeners are aware that this episode will be covering the topics of suicide and self-harm. So some listeners may find the discussion distressing, so we do encourage you to practice self-care. Miles, Apurva, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having us.
Cool, lovely to be speaking to you both. Let's start with some introductions. Miles, maybe you could go first. You could tell us about yourself, a little bit about your career to date and your research interests.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Miles Reyes. I'm a first-generation Filipina-American, and I'm also a physician in training here in the U.S. I have my bachelor's in science psychobiology from UCLA. I'm also a few days away from graduating with my doctorate of medicine from the University of California, Riverside. I'm also an incoming resident physician at the Charles R. Drew LA County General Psychiatry Residency Training Program, with high hopes to go into child-adolescent psychiatry fellowship in the future. Some of my research interests are cultural and social determinants influencing psychiatric diagnoses and outcome, as well as media and social media's impact on youth mental health and self-identity formation. I'll transition it now to my mentor, Dr. Apurva Bhatt.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Apurva Bhatt, and I'm a child and adolescent and adult psychiatrist and clinical assistant professor at Stanford University School of Medicine. I'm really excited to be here and share our work. Just a little bit about me. I specialize in early psychosis evaluation and treatment, and I work in both the child early psychosis clinic and adult early psychosis clinic here at Stanford, known as the Inspire Clinics. I also do school clinical consultations for several of our local school districts where I provide clinical consultations and helping students. Some of my research interests include early psychosis measurement instruments, specifically looking at pediatric populations. I'm also interested in looking at Asian American, South Asian youth mental health, specifically suicide rate and suicide prevention. I've also published and really worked hard on an advocacy level on prevention of youth suicide by firearm and looking at statewide firearm policies. And I'm also a mentor. Miles is one of my amazing ACAP mentees. I really enjoy mentoring students and trainees, and I'm really excited to be here.
Great. Thank you for the introduction. So let's turn to the paper. It'd be really helpful if you could just give us a brief overview.
Yes. So our paper touches on a very overlooked Asian American and Pacific Islander population. It's a cross-sectional study focusing specifically on the Asian American and Pacific Islander youth population in the United States. We looked at publicly accessible data through the CDC WONDER and YRBSS here in the United States. And we looked at the years 1999 through 2021. We trended and analyzed the data and found an increase in the suicide rate of this population, as well as a few other findings specific to this group and subgroups within the population. Just in case anyone listening isn't aware, what CDC stands for is the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. It is a U.S. government organization and is the nation's leading science-based, data-driven service organization that protects public health. And YRBSS stands for Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System here in the United States. You can find the CDC website at cdc.gov, which is .gov.
Brilliant. Great overview. So let's get into a little bit more detail. So I'm interested that the title of the paper or the beginning part of the is Breaking the Silence. Could you tell us why you chose that title and whether it gives us a little bit of an insight in why you wanted to study this particular area?
Yes, so it was just so important for us to end the lack of published literature on this subject and break the silences, if you will, as an Asian American women physician team. We wanted to focus specifically on this population, the Asian American and Pacific Islander population, because there's just so much literature surrounding suicide and youth suicide, but much of it doesn't include or purposely excludes this population. And that's particularly concerning given that suicide was the leading cause of death for the Asian American Pacific Islander youth population in 2021.
Yeah, it was quite shocking that that population was actively excluded from many studies. So can you tell us how you went about the study? Were there any particular challenges or research limitations that you would be able to share with us?
So as I mentioned, it's a cross-sectional study and it utilizes publicly accessible data. So anyone can access this data in the United States. It's through the CDC Wonder database and the Youth Behavioral Risk Assessment Surveillance System, which is a self-reported survey type of data that's distributed to high school students here in the US. The data is already de-identified and we were able to just download it and analyze it thereafter. The obstacles that we are working with were all really specific to the data we were given. So for example, the YRBSS data is only reported every other year and it's through survey data. So you're subject to a lot of, you know, self-biasy, self-reported data there as well. And you're also only given information every other year. So for example, there was a large global pandemic that happened in 2020, but we weren't able to get the data from 2020. However, we were able to get the data from 2021. And another obstacle that we faced was that Asia or Asian youth is such a big overarching umbrella term. However, we're not able to analyze the single races that are found under Asia until 2018. So the CDC only started reporting single race data in 2018 and thereafter. So we only had 3 years of those counts to report. And again, whether you're Indian, Japanese, Vietnamese, Filipino, or Hawaiian, you're lumped together as Asian up until 2018. So those are some things to take into consideration.
Thank you for that. The data showed really alarming increases in Asian American and Pacific Islander youth suicide rates over the period of study. Could you just describe those key findings from the study?
Yes, so we had a few key findings from the study. We were able to look at rates as well as gender differences, methods of suicide, as well as self-reported feelings of distress, suicidal ideation, and things like that. So for example, one of our main findings was the rates of death by suicide in Asian American and Pacific Islander youth have doubled in the last decade, with rates reported from 2017 to 2021 as the highest reported rates since data collection began in 1999. The rates of suicide is higher in Asian American and Pacific Islander male youth versus female youth, but both saw their highest rate and peak rate in 2021, both post-pandemic. The YRBSS data showed that a higher percent of Asian American and Pacific Islander females self-report symptoms of depression, such as feeling sad or hopeless, as well as suicidal ideation and suicide attempts. Yet, we just discussed earlier that the rates of suicide is higher in males as opposed to females. Those are some interesting findings that we had.
With those rates of suicide, I'm just wondering why this group have been excluded from previous studies. Is there anything in the previous literature that gave a rationale for why that exclusion happened?
So some of the previous literature that we looked at actually showed that they were only going to be looking at various other racial minority groups here in the United States. So for example, Black versus white suicide rates within the youth population, or Latinx versus white, or American Indian. But specifically, there weren't that many studies looking at Asian youth, just because they said that the counts were suppressed or too low.
The other thing to add to that is when we look at these prior reports, I wonder, you know, I don't think we'll ever really know why the CDC or other big epidemiological reporting groups specifically exclude Asian American youth. But one thing to think about is there is ample literature showing that the model minority myth really perpetuates a lot of exclusionary behavior, especially in research, where there is this sort of inappropriate assumption that Asian Americans don't have mental health issues, that they don't struggle with suicide, that maybe the population is so small that we shouldn't even worry about them. And that's really problematic, as our report shows that this is actually a huge issue in this community and something that should be looked at. And with the model minority myth, what that alludes to is that this population is high achieving, their well-being is fine, there is no problem here, and let's focus on other groups rather than actually including this group. The other thing to think about is, because historically this was a minority population in terms of sheer population numbers, however, in the last few years, Asian American youth are the fastest growing minority population in the USA. And so that's another thing to think about as future researchers embark on looking at seeing how we can improve research studies on this population and tailor interventions.
Brilliant. Thank you. You've already mentioned and sort of stated that some of the difficulties in terms of collecting the data, and clearly Asian American and Pacific Island is not a homogeneous group. So were there any significant subgroup differences within your findings?
Looking at the subgroups, to preface, we're looking specifically at counts, not rates, largely because the subgroup data collection only began in 2018. So the CDC Wonder doesn't do a population rate until the data is much larger. So just looking at counts specifically, but there were 1,269 deaths from 2018 to 2021. And the highest number of suicide deaths were seen in the other Asian, Chinese, Asian Indian, and Filipino youth subgroups in the United States.
Okay, and what were the differences in Asian American and Pacific Islander suicide rates compared to other demographic groups?
We don't have the exact rates in front of us, but in 2021, suicide was the leading cause of death of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander youth age group 10 to 19 years old, which differs from other racial groups where suicide is the second leading cause of death found in Asian Indian or white populations, or the third leading cause of death found in Black populations. And this can all be found on the CDC website and located in the year 2021.
I think I'd just kind of like to remind listeners a little bit about that kind of warning at the start of the podcast and the difficult kind of nature of the topic. Your paper also talks about the method of suicide. So what did the study find in relation to methods of suicide for young people from Asian American and Pacific Island background?
Yes, so our paper saw that suffocation and death by asphyxiation was the leading method of suicide for Asian American and Pacific Islander youth aged 5 through 24 years of age, with firearms actually as number two. And suffocation is actually number one method for both males and females. And this is actually quite unique to this population, as other groups have firearms as their primary method of suicide. And it's actually quite unique because we counsel quite heavily on firearms and firearm prevention and safety in pediatric care visits here in the United States. But with suffocation and death by asphyxiation being the leading method of suicide for Asian American and Pacific Islander youth, it leads to the question, how can we make prevention and preventative care visits more specifically tailored to various cultural groups?
And there were some gender differences as well, particularly in the rates of suicide and reported levels of depression. Could you just explain that a little bit for us?
There were higher rates of suicide found in AAPI males as compared to AAPI females. However, according to the YRBSS results survey sent out to high school students, a higher percent of AAPI females are self-reporting symptoms of depression, feelings of sadness or hopelessness, suicidal ideation, and suicide attempts. And this is quite interesting because more AAPI females are self-disclosing these symptoms and attempts, despite there actually being more recorded deaths in AAPI males. And this can be due to various things, but there is consistent prior reports of Asian males reporting more cultural and mental health stigma that prevent them from seeking care. So that can be one of the factors that we consider.
Thanks for really going into quite a lot of detail about the results. I think it's really, really helpful. What would you like to happen as a result of the findings?
So first and foremost, this is an understudied population. Like mentioned before, many epidemiological reports on youth suicide specifically exclude AAPI populations. And this may also perpetuate myths, such as the model minority myth that I mentioned before, or that AAPI individuals don't have mental health struggles. So I'd like to see more change and for more research to focus on this population and for researchers to be more inclusive in their demographic populations. We'd also like to see improvements in the diversity of the mental health workforce with increased focus on how our mental health system can provide culturally informed and sensitive care. I'd also like to see more focus on stigma reduction in communities, especially for AAPI communities, not just for youth, but also targeted interventions for parents, especially immigrant parents who have moved from different countries, so that if their child is struggling, they can identify the signs early and seek help without having to face the additional barrier of stigma. This is particularly important given that many children of immigrants may be facing assimilation and acculturative stress, and that may lead to mental health symptoms that, if there are layers of stigma, may prevent that child from receiving mental health care. Even though that child may recognize that they would benefit from care, you know, the stigma may prevent the parent from actually seeking care until much later in the time course of illness.
You mentioned about wanting to see more research. I'm just wondering whether you're planning any follow-up research or if there's anything in the pipeline that you'd like to share with us.
So since publishing this study, you know, Miles and I have been thinking about a lot of different things. I know, at least in my work here in California, I've really shifted my focus on reducing stigma in my community here in the Bay. I work in Stanford's Child Early Psychosis Clinic, as I mentioned. And my clinic serves a much higher proportion of AAPI youth living with psychosis and their families. And I've been able to see their mental health journey and some of the barriers that they face in seeking care, especially the level of stigma that really prevents some families from seeking care early. I really feel passionate about making it better for these young people, specifically youth living with psychosis symptoms. And in seeing their mental health journey, I've really gotten a very close glimpse of the level of intense stigma that these families face before they're able to seek care and even while they're seeking care. I feel really passionate about making it better for these young people so that they can seek care sooner and so that stigma doesn't pose as a giant barrier. You know, in the USA, the average duration of untreated psychosis is 18 months. And I've seen that number be even longer for some South Asian and AAPI individuals that my clinic serves. And so we've really got to do better as a nation in terms of reducing stigma and offering culturally informed care. And that starts with local community work.
Sorry, wanted to add on. So I'm actually currently working on a project looking at mental health service seeking behavior and addiction in the Filipino Inland Empire population, looking at utilizing focus groups. And we actually, you know, Apoorva did such a deep dive into stigma, but each cultural subgroup also has their own barriers into delaying care until it's acutely necessary. So I'm hoping to do a dive into that a bit more with my future projects as well.
Thank you. We're coming to the end of the podcast. I'm just wondering whether you've got a final take-home message.
Yeah, so much of mental health and psychiatric care involves cultural and social factors. And I'm so grateful to everyone taking the time to listen and increase their awareness on how we can better screen for these at-risk young people. It's also, as the time that we're recording, this is AAPI Heritage Month here in the USA. So we can take this data, and I hope that we can utilize it to advocate for increased visibility for youth of all backgrounds.
I'd also like to add, you know, I know that this is a challenging topic to talk about. And if you are a physician struggling with mental health, know that there is help available through a free service that's completely anonymous and confidential called the Physician Support Line. And that phone number is 888-409-0141. For all other listeners, you can use 988 in the USA to access support.
Thank you so much for your work and for the podcast today. It's been a really interesting discussion on an incredibly important subject. So thank you so much. For more details regarding Dr. Miles Reyes and Dr. Apoorva Bhatt, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.